It is exciting to be here. Our time in the States has just flown by. We were hoping to spend more time with you, but every free Sunday we had, we were here, and that was very, very few. And that's a good thing when you're a missionary. The Lord has opened up so many doors. We came to the States in January 20th, I believe, is when we arrived. So it'll be about 8 months when we leave next month. And it's just been, we had so many loopholes in our schedule, and God has just piled them in, and we've had more churches calling us than we do have available services. So it has just been a blessing. If there was any doubt in my mind that it was the Lord, that it's the Lord's ministry and not mine, it's been confirmed. He is operating it all, and it is just an honor to represent you folks. This is my home church. This is where we grew up, and I have to say that more and more because I'm starting to recognize little of you folks. More and more of you are new and different faces, and so this is my church. Amen. I grew up here. I make my claim. That's good, though. I noticed a lot of changes going on around here, and I am encouraged by it. I tell you, it's good to see your home church thrive, you know, and I know even in my absence it's going on and going ahead, even in spite of the fact that I'm not here to help out. I understand that, but I'm glad that it is. I tell you, if any of you ever seen the website, we have a new website, if you've seen that. I tell you, before, if anybody asked, does your church have a website, I always said no. We don't, but we do now, amen, and it's a blessing. We can go on there, even in Romania, we can go on there and we can watch the services, we can get video archives and like that, things of that sort. So it's just a blessing to be here, and just the different changes going on, it's encouraging to me, and I appreciate Pastor Stephen Carter coming in and taking the role here as co-pastor, an encouragement to me, and the Lord's obviously got great plans here, amen. But one thing I want to say, and I said all that to say this, one thing I'm glad we're not changing on, and that's the Word of God, amen. I tell you, this mission, this furlough alone, I have run into so many problems with this. Do you believe in the King James or don't you believe in the King James? And I'm finding myself very rare in my stand for the King James Bible, amen. And I'm glad I have someone who can back me up, amen. I walked in the church just the other day, and I was early. I shook hands with the preacher, went to the back. I grabbed the Landmark Acre, opened up the first page, and I said, praise the Lord, they haven't changed, amen. We still stand for the Word of God, and that's an encouragement to me. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I would like to share with you what the Lord has done in Romania. What we're about to see is some slides of what God has done the last 4 years. We will have been away in Romania for 5 years this December, is when the first time we arrived on the field, December 22nd, 2004. And this is fruits of the ministry there. If the Apostle Paul were here, he would say like he did in Philippians, this is fruit that is abounded to your account. You've trained us, you taught us, you support us, you're our sending church, and what we're about to see here tonight is fruit that's abounded to your account. I need a mic so I can stand out of the way. Is this one going to be on? All right, there we go. I'm going to stand on this side, though, because my computer's over here, so I can kick it if it needs it. All right, we'll introduce ourselves, the Boyle family. My name's Patrick, my wife Robin. We have 5 children, Joshua, Stephen, Caleb, Kyle, and Erica. And the one that's coming on the way, we found out, is a little boy. So we'll have 5 boys and 1 girl. We're, of course, your missionaries from this church to the country of Romania. Romania is a small country located in Eastern Europe. You could compare the land size to that of the state of Oregon. A communist background, and their leader there, Ceausescu, was their dictator, their communist dictator, until 1989. And they had a revolution. They overthrew him, removed the Iron Curtain, and missionaries were allowed to enter into the country with the gospel in 1989. 22 million people in that country, and over 12,000 gypsy villages. There are gypsies all over the world. Even here in the United States, there are gypsies, but Romania has the highest population of gypsies than any other country. Our ministry focuses on reaching the gypsies. We reach both Romanian and gypsy alike, but we specifically target gypsy villages. You can see, according to the pictures, as you would imagine them to look, that is still true today. You can be in a Romanian city and feel somewhat modern, walk down a dirt road and walk into a gypsy village and feel like you're living through the pages of National Geographic. And people ask all the time, do they still travel around by horse and wagon, bartering pots and pans and things of that sort? Yes and no. Most of them in the country of Romania have settled down into the 12,000 villages that are found in our country. If you'll see them traveling, they're getting ready to head out to another European country to make their trades, and then they'll come back. Because of the gypsies' way of life, they're known for stealing petty pickpocketing and things of that sort, very deceitful and crooks. They are shut off from society. Romania has little to do with them. They don't accept them. Businesses, if they allow them in, are very rude to them. And so you'll see them on the street corners there begging, and that's how they provide for their family. When we were called there, we went on a survey trip back, I guess, 2003, something like that, and we saw the way the gypsies were treated, and I thought, this is not right. It should not be. Nobody should treat another person that way. Well, we arrived there, and it didn't take us very long before we found out why they were treated that way. If you let them into your business, they'll steal from you. If you give them a little bit, they'll take a lot. And so we found out real quickly that this is brought upon this prejudice upon themselves is what had happened. And so people told us we needed to redirect our ministry. We needed to focus on the Romanians and not on the gypsies because they brought it upon themselves. They deserve it. Well, the Bible says otherwise. In Psalms 107:20, it says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And so their self-destructive ways can be broken by the power of the Word of God, the power of the gospel. We believe in evangelizing, getting the gospel out, training them one-on-one, and then planting independent Bible-believing Baptist churches. We believe in soul winning. That's the method that's going to get done. It's going to work here in the United States, and it'll work in any other country you go to. We believe in going out soul winning. That's one of our ministries, our big ministry there. And every week, several times a week, we're out soul winning. Many people have gotten saved. And just this past summer, we had a big track drive, 40,000 gospel tracts in the summer there. Just this past summer we went through. Our village ministry, we have, this is where we'll target those gypsy villages. We'll go into those gypsy villages, set up chairs, and have a meeting, an outdoor meeting, over 12,000 of them to choose from. So there's plenty of villages to go into. We'll pull in, and nobody but a gypsy goes into a gypsy village. And so obviously their interest is sparked as a vehicle enters, and we unload, and we set up benches. The whole village will come, and they'll surround, and they'll sit there, and people always ask, how many get saved? Well, you can't reap what's not been sown. And so we're sowing the Word of God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we get the gospel out, they'll listen, they'll go all the way to the invitation, and we're packing up and leaving, and they'll say, can you do anything else? Is there something else that you can tell us? And just fertile ground there with this village ministry that God has blessed us with. And just, again, 12,000 of them, that we will never run out of villages to go into. Our discipleship program is after they get saved, they've got to be trained. We don't believe God stops at salvation, amen? And there's plenty more He wants for us to do. The Word of God is full on things Christians should do, shouldn't do. And so we have discipleship classes. We have a Bible Institute that meets on Saturdays for 5 hours. We have discipleship classes one-on-one. We'll have group settings depending on the individual. But we train them and teach them what the Bible says. One of the biggest blessings is watching them learn some familiar verses that we almost yawn as we say it because we've heard it so many times. But watch someone read it for the very first time. And I tell you, John 3:16 will never be the same to you again. You'll realize the power that's still there. Just because we got used to it doesn't mean it's less powerful. Amen? And so just a tremendous opportunity we have with our discipleship program. We have a teen camp. In fact, teen camp is going on right now in Romania while we're away. Brother Morgan's heading it up for us. We rent the building there in the top left corner, and we invite teenagers from all over the country. We'll have 50, 60 teenagers, and we have a time of camp, kind of like what you would have here where there's games, but the focus is preaching. Get them away from the world, getting them away from the influence and preaching and getting the Word of God instilled into the young people. Many teenagers have come forward at the end of a camp and said they'll give their life to reach their country for Christ. They'll do far better than I'll ever be able to do. And so God has blessed our teen camp ministry in a special way. It's going on right now as we speak. And our most important ministry, this is what all the other ministries support, and that is church planting. We are church planting missionaries. We arrived in December of 2004. We began working with Brother Morgan in the First Independent Baptist Church of Onesh. This is the upstairs left corner. This is the upstairs right side of the room. This is the downstairs of the building there. Those kids meet downstairs while we are upstairs. And so it is a tiny little building, and we are filling it, using every little corner we can, and God has just blessed in a special way the First Independent Baptist Church of Onesh. In June of 2008, we began a work in the city of Târgu Ogna. We rented it's a little mud building, nothing special to look at, but God is doing great things in that little building. Just two rooms. This is the adult side of the room and the children's side of the room. And God has blessed in a special way. I've got a national young man preaching for me in my place while I'm away. I've got good results. He's called me already. Several waiting to be baptized. They just got done with their vacation Bible school, doing all kinds of programs even without me. And so I'm encouraged to hear all the good news. October of 2008, we began a third work in the village of Haret, about an hour and a half from where we live. And God blessed us with this building. And this has become one of our largest works. It's called the First Independent Baptist Church of Haret. And again, just tremendous things are happening. People are getting saved. People are getting on fire for the Lord. They love their Bible. And believe it or not, the Bible issue is going on in every language. It's not just in the English language. Amen. And the people here are standing with us with the Word of God, and they've fallen in love with it, and they're growing by leaps and bounds. And we're honored that the Lord is doing this here in the country of Romania. We do ask that you pray. We have a fourth work that we're getting ready to start in the village where we live. This is the village of Bursanesh. This is the building. We live there, and we travel to the city church, and we travel in our little vans. We have their 9-passenger vans, and we squeeze 22 people in those vans to get them to the city church. And then you saw the city church. It's tiny as it is. And so we could eliminate that problem by starting a church, and we don't have to transport all those people into the city, have a church in their village for them, and that would free up as well seats in the city church for them. And so God has blessed in a special way. He's laid this upon our hearts. This would be the fourth work there. If you notice, all the names of the church are First Independent Baptist Church of and in the city or village, because it literally is the First Independent Baptist Church of that village or city. And we were at a church a couple churches ago, and they said, we're going to send over a piano. A real piano, I mean, from the United States all the way over there. Pianos are unheard of in the country of Romania. So God has given us a piano. We already have 3 or 4 families that will be immediately members of that church. And so we're just trusting the Lord that He'll give us the building. And it's exciting to know God's still working. Amen. And He doesn't need talent. He just needs someone who will be available and say, Lord, whatever I have, use me. And that's what God has done over there in the country of Romania. We do appreciate your prayers. We know a lot of you do. You keep touch with us through emails. And just it's a tremendous opportunity to represent you in the country of Romania. We do appreciate it very much. And just keep us in prayers. We'll be leaving September 18th to go back. This next slide is a video of our service, of them singing. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We're sent by, of course, Landmark Baptist Church right here, and our Mission Board Macedonia World Baptist out of Georgia. We have a website as well at Romania4Christ.com. You get our newsletters, pictures, weather reports, all kinds of interesting things there. All right, I am done with that. If you'll get the lights. Isn't God good? I always enjoy showing that the video at the end there of what God can do to the gypsies and Romanians after he saved them and changed them and they've got a heart for him. It looks like an American service. It really does. And it's not, I shouldn't say an American. It looks like believers in Christ. Amen. And there's no culture in Christ. We're all heavenly citizens. Amen. And it's an honor to be here. I've got a sermon I'm going to try and preach in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, however much time I got. So we're going to do rapid fire. If you got your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's look at verse number 14 through 16. Verse number 14 through 16 says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse number 16, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Here we have some very interesting verses here addressed to the Christian. If you look for context sake back in verse number 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." These are people who were not saved, "but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So here's the Apostle Paul telling you, now you were at one time not saved, but you're saved now. So there's going to be some things that should not be in your life and some things that should be in your life because you're not in darkness anymore. You're of the light. And so in verse number 14, when he says, "Wherefore," he's saying, because you're saved, this is what I'm going to ask of you to do. I'm glad when I think of being lost and unsaved, it's past tense. Amen. And it will always be past tense if you're saved this evening. Once saved, always saved. And I praise the Lord for that. But here he says in verse number 14, he says, "Wherefore, because of this, awake thou that sleepest." Here we see a command or a call, a compelling for Christians to wake up, to wake up. And he says, if you're sleeping, wake up. You were in darkness, but you're not in darkness anymore. Wake up. And I want to just show you a few things, some alarms that we find in the Word of God this evening. Some we could call the title Christian Alarm Clocks if we had a title for the message. And too many church members are sleeping. Hey, we'll say this, too many Americans are sleeping. We're sleeping when everything is falling apart around us and we're just sitting there asleep as if nothing is wrong. And too many of us are sleeping. I think of, and we don't mean literally as some of you may be this evening, amen. We're not talking about literal sleeping. We're talking about a sleep that when the preacher gets up there, delivers a message from the Word of God, no motivation. No altar call. You know why? Because there's nothing happening. You were sleeping the whole time. Was it because the power of the Word of God's no longer there? No. But the Christian is asleep while the Word of God is being preached. I think of a time in my life when I was caught sleeping in church physically. Amen. I was in a youth conference, and it was a big youth conference. Teenagers from all over the country were there. 7,000-8,000 teenagers. It was a week long of preaching. It was the last day of preaching. It was the keynote speaker up there preaching. And everybody was just, this was it. This was the last one. And as a teenager, we were up at 5, going to bed at midnight, up at 5, going to bed at midnight. The last message of the evening, and I could not stay awake. I tried to stay awake. We were in the balcony, and I could not stay awake. He gave the invitation. It was time for every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. And he said that, and I was gone. That's all it took. I was sleeping away. And all I know was I heard these words, "Stand." So I stood, and I opened my eyes, and I look around, and I was the only one standing. And here the preacher and all these teenagers and all these people, he says, "Yes, young man, I see you in the balcony. Thank you for that decision. Come on down." And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, I don't know what I've just decided. He says, "This young man has been called to preach. Aren't you glad of that?" And I sit back down as quickly as I could, trying to blend back in, and the preacher, he says, "Oh, young man, don't run from God." He said, "You know the Holy Spirit is working. Just come on down and make it right." I'm thinking, I didn't feel anything. I was sleeping. And this went on for a while. And finally, I went. He said, "Pray for that young man because God is trying to get a hold of him and he's running from it." And they had a prayer for me. And I mean, it was a mess. Don't get caught sleeping. Amen. But that's not the kind of sleeping we're talking about. We're talking about a sleeping that is only visibly spiritually. A sleeping that externally everything looks like it's fine, but while our families are falling apart, while our country is falling apart, while our churches are falling apart, we're doing absolutely nothing because we're sleeping. We're not motivated. When we're asleep, nothing motivates us. And I want to show you a few alarms just in the little bit of time that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll find the first alarm. We'll find an alarm for Christians to wake up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Quickly turn there. I'm going to read as soon as I find it. I don't have it marked as well. Verse number 34. He says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Why? Why should we wake up? "For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." We are asleep while the world is dying and going to hell. Here we have an alarm for the lost. This is the alarm that is sounding for the lost. And he's trying to wake Christians up and say, "Hey, there's people in Romania that need to hear the gospel. Who will wake up and get the gospel to them?" Hey, there's an alarm sounding. There's some people in Haines City that need to hear the gospel. Who's going to get the alarm? Who's going to answer that alarm and get that gospel to them? And here in a message where the alarm is being sound, where there's a call for a soul winner, we leave the same way we came and no more people get saved because the alarm doesn't get answered. I wrote some things here about the alarms, some simple things, but I'm a simple kind of a guy. Alarm clocks can be annoying. Would you agree with me there? They always go off when we're sleeping. Isn't that neat? This is pretty deep stuff. You probably want to write it down. Alarm clocks are annoying. Why? Because they go off when you're sleeping. Can I tell you, when the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you to do something, to lead someone to Christ, to go out on visitation, it's going to be when you've got other plans, when you're not in the mood for it, and the Holy Spirit's going to say, "Hey, we need a soul winner. Who will be it?" And you'll say, "Not me, Lord," and you'll turn the alarm off. They go off when we're sleeping. And so I think of the time I heard the alarm. I think of the time God started to sound an alarm in my heart. As a teenager, I learned to go soul winning right here. And what motivated me to go soul winning was I heard a preacher one time ask, "How many people have come to Christ because of your life? How many souls have you been able to lead to Christ?" And I remember sitting there growing up in a Christian home, involved in the church, but I'd never gone soul winning. And there was an alarm that was sounding. I thought, "Boy, I have not gotten involved in soul winning." And I thought, "I need to." They set up a class and they said, "This is what you're going to do." They trained me. I remember going out soul winning, getting on fire, and I was glad I answered the alarm. It's life-changing. There's nothing more joyous than watching someone accept the Lord Jesus Christ because you were standing there with your Bible. I tell you, that was a great time. I can remember when the Lord began to sound an even larger alarm and he began to call me into missions. And I thought, "Boy, I could never do that." But the alarm kept ringing. I couldn't ignore that alarm. I remember Brother Morgan up here preaching, and maybe many of you can remember that message when he was preaching and asking for help. The Holy Spirit was pointing right at me. I was sitting right around here somewhere, pointing right at me the whole time, and I was under such conviction, I heard the alarm, but I didn't answer it. And this went on for several months. I couldn't even look at Brother Morgan. I quit reading my Bible because I knew what would happen if I read my Bible. There was an alarm sounding. And praise the Lord, I remember the day I accepted it. I said, "Lord, if it's for me, I'll answer that alarm." There's an alarm sounding this evening for someone to be a soul winner. There's lost. The lost people are dying and going to hell, and we need to answer that alarm. Quickly, let's turn to the second alarm. 1 Thessalonians, if you got your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll help you out. It's right before 2 Thessalonians, in case you're looking for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse number 5. Again, notice what he's going to do here. Before he calls the alarm, he's going to remind you of your salvation. He says, "Ye are the children of light." Did we not already read something like this? "And the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore," again, here we see, you're saved. "So therefore, let us not sleep." Now watch these words. "As do others." As do others. Here's an alarm for people, Christians. There's an alarm saying, "Would you wake up and not be as others?" There's an alarm for a leader. We need some leaders here today. There's an alarm for someone to wake up, a Christian, to wake up and not be as other Christians are. Can you imagine? I mean, we have settled for mediocre Christianity today. Churches, we've just been on our furlough tour all over the place. Churches are, to have a church like we have here is rare. I'll say that. Very rare. And it's becoming even more rare. And can I tell you, we can lose what we have here if we're not careful. We can lose if we won't stand our ground, define our terms, define the doctrine. This is where we stand. That's going to take a leader, and you're going to need to follow that leader. And we'll lose our churches if we won't answer the alarm for a leader. An alarm clock, here's another interesting thing here. An alarm clock forces us to make a decision. There's an alarm that's going to sound, and we're going to decide, will I wake up? Or will I continue to sleep? We have that old button there, that snooze button, that big button, the biggest one on the alarm clock, amen? The snooze button. And many Christians, after a message, after the Holy Spirit pricks their heart, they don't say no, they just hit snooze. And while we're hitting snooze, we are losing our families. We're losing our children. We need a leader. We need a leader in the home who will step back up and say, this is the way our home is going. We're going to follow Christ. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But we're watching our kids wander off into the sin. We're losing our children. We're losing our spouses. And can I tell you, while all this is going on, what are we doing? Are we on our knees at the altar begging God for help? No, we're asleep, acting as if everything's okay. Can I tell you, our country is falling apart? Amen. And we woke up for a little bit on September 11th, but you know what we did? We rolled over and hit the snooze button, and we've forgotten all about it all over again, and our country's falling apart, and we need some leaders who will get up and say, hey, we're going back to the old paths. This is the way the Lord blessed us. This is what made America great. Can I tell you, unless a leader will answer that call, we're in big trouble. Amen. We're in big trouble in our families, we're in big trouble in our country, and we're in big trouble in our churches. I am encouraged. I am so excited that Stephen Carter is here. I tell you, I am so excited. I can't tell you about that, how much that means to me. He's one of us, amen. He grew up here, and we know where he stands, and we have no question, tomorrow are we going to be King James? Tomorrow are we still going to have Baptist on our sign? Hey, we need leaders, and we need some people who will come over and hold those leaders' hands up, because we need some leaders. There's an alarm sounding. There's an alarm sounding for leaders. Now, we can hit the snooze button, or we can wake up and say, hey, that alarm was for me. There's an alarm. Hey, you say, well, we're fine. I don't know. How about, have you looked at your family lately? You know, that kind of stuff just slips up. When's the last time you've had your family altar in your home? There's a loud alarm that is ringing out, and it's been sounding so long, we don't even hear it anymore. There's an alarm sound. It's forcing us to make a decision. Will we wake up? Will we go back to sleep? Then last of all, Romans chapter 13. I'm rushing through this, leaving out a lot of my illustrations, because I know some of you want to get home tonight, amen? Romans chapter number 13, look at verse number 11. Here's our final alarm we're going to look at. We have the first one's for the lost, the second one's for a leader. Here's our last alarm we're going to look at, verse number 11 of chapter 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to, what's that word? Awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of, here we see that word again, and let us put on the armor of light. Always the contrasting, darkness, light, darkness, light. And if we could continue to read and go on, he'll begin to tell you how to walk. We see an alarm here. What is this alarm? This is the alarm of the last days. We are living in the last days. And you know what? This is what surprises me, because just about everybody in this room will amen and say, this is wonderful. But you know, when you look at Christianity today, and we see all the signs, and just about every born-again Christian will say, amen, the Lord is coming. And then you look at their spiritual life, and you look at what they're doing for the Lord, you look at their family, you look at what they're contributing to the church, and you think, if the Lord really is coming, if it really is intimate, how can we be so lazy? How can we be so liberal in our thinking? How can we be so carnal minded if the Lord really is coming? He is coming, and there's an alarm that is sounding, kind of like that alarm on the old submarine when it's getting ready to sink, or you're losing oxygen, and that red light, that's the alarm that we hear. It's the alarm that the Lord Jesus is coming, and our time is running out. I wrote this down about alarm clocks. Alarm clocks bring us back to reality. They interrupt our dreams. Isn't that neat? I mean, that's just some neat stuff you're learning tonight. They interrupt your dreams. And we're living in a dream world. hey, if I just continue as I am and don't really have to contribute much into my home, into my ministry, into whatever it is, it'll just be okay. That's a dream. And there's an alarm saying you're going to lose what you've got if you're not careful, if you won't answer the call for the lost, if you won't answer that alarm for a leader, if you won't answer the call that time is running out, we better redeem the time because the days are evil. And so here's an alarm. They interrupt your dreams. I think of some dreams that we have. I like to dream. I like my dreams. I'm always the hero in my dreams. And I like to tell people about my dreams. I don't know if you've ever been around people like that where they're always telling you, I dreamed this last night. I'm one of those kind of people. We were in Romania, and I can remember the dream. We were we have milk over there, but it's not the good for you kind that's all homogenized full of chemicals. Ours is natural and healthy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so we've grown up on homogenized milk so much that when we have real straight milk, it tastes nasty. And so we crave milk sometimes. I mean, we really do. And I remember this dream I had, and I would walk in down the grocery store in Romania, a grocery store, big shelves, and just every aisle was milk in American-shaped gallons, and I was filling my cart thinking, boy, I could swim in this. And I was walking down these aisles filling up with milk. I turned the aisle, and there was just wall-to-wall donuts. I mean, I was thinking, this is wonderful. I couldn't get enough donuts in my cart. I turned the aisle, and there were cookies. And I thought, this is wonderful. And then all of a sudden, it's not true. Romania doesn't have homogenized milk. There's no donuts, and there's no cookies. It was a dream. And can I tell you, some of us are beginning to think that we can just give little, contribute little spiritually to our families and to our way of life, and it will have no repercussion. And there's an alarm sounding saying, hey, you better wake up. It's a dream that you're living in. Oh, well, you know, I know we've got some changes to make, but we'll do it later. Snooze, and you'll lose them. You'll lose them. There's an alarm sounding. Hey, listen, it makes us aware of the time. When we hear that alarm, we realize, hey, it's time. It's time to wake up. Hey, there's an alarm sounding tonight, whether you like it or not. I'm the annoying alarm tonight, amen? And it's the alarm saying, hey, you got to do something. Now, you can leave here hitting snooze. Say, you know what? But it forced you to make a decision. Am I going to answer the call for the lost? Am I going to resume leadership in my home? Am I going to be a leader spiritually? Oh, we need teenagers to lead. Do we not? We need a young person in our youth group who will stay. You know what? I'm gonna go against the course of the teenagers. I'm going to fall in love with the Lord all over again. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to become a soul winner. And can I tell you, people will naturally follow. Listen, the power of influence that you have. I think of a gypsy. I think of the gypsy as they all their life. They're told they'll never amount to anything. And not only that, they back it up by their actions. They'll steal from you. You begin to think, you think you found an honest gypsy. It's a joke. There's no such thing. There really isn't. Unless the Lord comes in and saves them. And we've been deceived by so many times. And it's awful. And then the Lord gets inside one of them and changes them and saves them. And they throw away their old habits and they fall in love with the Lord. Can I tell you, he won't be alone very long because others will follow. They do follow. And listen, teenagers, parents, whatever your relationship is, you need to be the leader and say, you know what? I'm going to, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Amen. Boy, we need a leader. Boy, we need leaders. And it makes us aware of the time we think of in James where he says, our life is what? But a vapor. Someone said, all you have is the little dash between the dates on your tombstone to give to the Lord. That's not all true either. Because a lot of us have used up most of our dash. If you could draw the little dash in your mind, the date you were born, the date that you plan on dying, as if we know. But let's just say we live to be a good old healthy age. That dash right there, I've probably used up, I don't know, a quarter of my dash already. I have 3/4 of a dash to give to God. Some of you in here have maybe only got a quarter left to give to God. We don't even have a whole dash to give. Our life is so short. I tell you what convinced me to be a missionary, when God began to call me and I had other plans, not bad plans, but other plans, what sold me the deal was when I thought these thoughts went through my mind, when I'm 80 years old and I look back on my life, will I be happy living the way I did? And I thought, you know, all my plans are physical, are carnal, not bad plans, but carnal. Do I want to give my one life I only have? Let me tell you a midlife crisis I had. You're going to cry, I understand. When I turned 20, I went through a midlife crisis. I I don't look 20 today, but when I turned 20, I really did. It was a sad day for me. And people don't believe me, but I really was. When I turned 20, this thought went through my mind. If I'm going to do something for the Lord in my teenage years, it's gone. I'll never be able to serve God as a teenager again. If I was going to do something for God as a teenager, my time's up. I'll never, ever, ever be a teenager again. Now, I wasn't an old man at that time, but I will never be a teenager. I thought, wow, for eternity, I'll never be a teenager again. And I began to think, wow, as a 20-year-old, time is short. And they tell me the older you get, the faster it goes. You know, you're only going to be close to those grandkids for so long, and they're going to grow up and move away. Your time is short. You're only going to have those kids in your home for so long before they move off and go away. You're only going to have this church for so long before the Lord moves different people. And can I tell you, while you've got the chance, while that time is there, while the alarm is sounding, saying, hey, time's running out, make things right today, do it right today, fall in love with the Lord all over again today, time is running out. And then on top of all of what I just said, we have in the equation, the Lord Jesus coming. And that could happen right now. We believe that. There's an alarm sounding. Listen, I tell you, I'm glad that we have... I am so glad to be part of Landmark Baptist Church. When I'm out and the Bible issue comes up, they always say, what church are you from? And I say, Landmark Baptist Church, Haines City, Florida, Pastor Mickey Carter. And that's all I need to say, amen. It's a blessing to be here to a church that's not just answered the alarm, it's sounding the alarm. It's calling for leaders. It's saying, hey, come learn at our college what the Bible means. What I liked was, things you'll never hear at Landmark. The Greek says, amen, amen. Listen, we need churches like this. Keep up the good work. Thank you for your prayers. We really do appreciate it. We're going back in Romania in just a couple weeks, and we'll be there 3-4 years, however long the Lord does, lets us stay there before we have to come back. We are so looking forward to going, and we're chomping at the bit. I just got a phone call the other day. They said several families have joined our church, several more waiting to be baptized as soon as I get back, and so God is working even in our absence, and we really do appreciate your prayers. Thank you, preacher.